Last week we discussed about how the wives should be in submission. All the men said amen. This week it starts out, likewise husbands. So we're to have the women up in arms this morning. You know, God has a purpose and a plan. It's always in order. There's never any chaos to God's plan. We talked a little bit about last week about how the women, when they come in, they shouldn't adorn up too much. And that's a bad term of too much. But we get the word cosmos, which is the heavens, and how orchestrated it is, and how it moves and does the things that it does through God's plan. But that root word cosmos is where we get cosmetology from, and how there should be an order and a plan to that, and how everything should be symphonic. And the women should, your attire should be from the inside out. It should display your character. That's what it should be doing. But he talks about even women in the Old Testament and how their examples were set forth. And it's a good example for us. But he gets down in chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being as heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Well, there's a whole bunch right there. And there's some pauses in there and some things. You ever wonder why God didn't answer your prayer immediately? You know, boy, does He really hear me? It says there that your prayers be not hindered. Brother Abrams, not this one, his dad. I grew up my whole life in church. But until I became an adult and sat under his Sunday school class, I didn't learn the Bible. Probably because I wasn't listening, because I'm sure they were teaching it. I just wasn't paying attention. But Brother Abrams taught me the Bible, not Tim Everett. He said, based on the rapture with Jesus Christ coming back down into our atmosphere to get us, because if it's within the power of Satan to keep us from going to Him, He'll try and do it. Who do you think hinders our prayers? Who do you think causes problems in the home? You know, marriage was the first institution God ever created. Very first one. The other one was the church, by the way. Satan's been trying to mess up the church for 2,000 years. He's been trying to mess up the marriage ever since God created it. So, if we keep focused on really who the enemy is, we can understand a lot about even each other and our relationships with each other. You know, we want to get mad at somebody, but it's not them, it's sin. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. He wept because of what sin had done to this world. And if we get that in our minds, you know, when somebody wrongs us, it's not that person that wrongs us, because they can do something and make it back right again and we're all happy again. It's the sin that causes that. You know, there's people that hurt you that wouldn't hurt you for the world, and they do. Because sin is selfishness. It's thinking more about themselves than someone else, and it creates problems. So after we pray, we'll hear about the husbands. Lord, thank you again for those who've come out, Lord, to hear your word. Father, I pray that, Lord, through the reading of your word, we'd just be fortified. Father, we'd be able to go and witness. Father, to our friends, our family, our loved ones, Lord, that we would even search our own souls, Lord, to see how our standing is with you, and Lord, that we're in the proper standing. Father, I pray for all these that we've mentioned, Lord, even those that weren't spoken out loud. Father, I pray that you'd just have your will and way in their lives. Lord, I think about Brian and this time, Lord, that you'd just comfort him, the homegoing of his mom, and Lord, for all these who are out traveling around, the Van Fleets, Lord, all those who are out, Lord, you just give them traveling mercies. Bring them back to us safely. Lord, bring them back into the fold. And Lord, that again, we'd be whole again. Lord, just be with us. I pray that you would teach this lesson. Lord, give us understanding. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So he says in verse 7, likewise, of all the stuff we just talked about for the women, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And knowledge is a funny thing because we go out and we seek knowledge. You know, universities give you knowledge. Applying that knowledge is wisdom. You know, you know people that are book smart all they can be and just can't do hardly anything. They lack wisdom. You know, it's the thing of discerning what they have. You go to university or further education, they give you knowledge. What you do with it is what you do with it. You know, wisdom is where it comes in. And I have people all the time at church come up and say, I got a question for you. And I always immediately begin praying, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom in this area where I can answer or where I can at least say, you know what, I don't know, but give me a day or two. You know, and usually I try and do it. I try and get back and take that, put it in my mind, go study it out and give you some kind of answer scripturally. But wisdom is what we need to be. He says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, physically speaking, men are stronger than women. I know there's some women that can mop the floor up with me. I'm not saying that. There's a few, surely. I'm just giving, you know, I've always said I can whoop a pretty good woman. I just, you know, I mean, you think about it, you know. But physically speaking, men are stronger than women. It doesn't mean stronger mentally, necessarily, in some cases. But, you know, I've pretty well always been stronger than my wife, physically speaking. Again, sometimes spiritually, no, I haven't. You know, it works so well. I hope it works this way in your family. When I'm down, she's up. When she's down, I'm up. You know, and one's telling the other one, hey, it's going to be all right. It's, you know, everything's going to be fine. You know, and I try and always go the rational way and go, no, it's not. You know, but generally always, we've never been both down at the same time. We've been up together, you know, but never been to where one couldn't pull the other one on along. That's the way it should work, by the way. Look what he says. As being heirs together. Heirs together of the grace of life. And he says, you need to do all this, husbands, so that your prayers aren't hindered. You know, I've tried to explain to my kids, if you're just being that great kid and going along, man, you can come to me and ask me anything. And I'm like, sure, here, yeah, what do you need, right? But it's tougher to go to a parent when you've been messing up and go, yeah, I know I've done all that, but can you give me? Well, humanistically speaking, we just don't feel like we want to do that. God is our Father. You know, and again, don't get wrong here of God honoring a do-gooder more than somebody else. But just physically speaking, you want to do good so that, again, your prayers aren't hindered. Peter tells us here that you dwell according to knowledge, give honor unto your wife, that your prayers be not hindered. Verse 8 says, finally, Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. He says, okay, we got the family unit taken care of. Now we're talking about the brethren. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was crucified, died, buried, and rose again, you're my brother. We have a common bond. That common bond is Jesus Christ. We should have compassion for each other. I don't have to stand up here and tell anybody it's hot. My goodness, it's hot. The Browns texted us this morning and said, we won't be at church. Our air conditioner went out at midnight last night. Man, didn't everybody in here just go, ah. Oh. That's great, y'all. That's what we should do. We should joy with them and we should be in sorrow with them. That's what we should do. That's compassion. You know, I texted them back and I said, don't worry about Sunday school. I got two air conditioners that I loan out. I'll head that way. You know, I'll give you a little something. You can sit in front of one of them, you know. stay close to the window, you know. But it says, be ye all of one mind. That's tough. Man, that's just tough to do. To be of one mind is one thing, but we should all get along. Man, we shouldn't have squabbles. We can disagree. We can agree to disagree. That's the thing to do. Amen. And move along. You know, I mean, again, if you're around someone long enough, you're going to get to a point where, hey, we don't agree with something. But isn't it nice you can just move right on along? Right? I mean, you know, I know I've had disagreements with people in here, but we're all still here together. And hopefully we can't, yeah, I remember that, but what was it about? You know, that kind of deal. There's plenty to disagree about. Just spiritually speaking, there's plenty to disagree about. We have a number of denominations out there. Church is full right now, hopefully, and some hopefully not. But we can disagree on eternal security. Now, we can't, but other denominations will say, well, how'd you do this week? Did you lose your salvation? You know, here we're sitting in here going, no, there's people that believe that, y'all. And we're going to disagree. Because God disagrees. There's points of prophecy that we can disagree about. You know, golly, 20 years ago, Desert Storm, we all thought that was it. Man, here it is. This is the end time. Charlene and I was in Northern California when it happened, scared to death. Man, this is it. That idiot over there is rattling sabers and saying this is the mother of all battles. And we sat in a little cabin on Lake Shasta and had our Bibles. And in our unlearned minds, we looked through the book of Revelation and found out that Babylon would fall in 1 hour. And they come on the news and said that the American forces rendered them cut off from the outside in 45 minutes. We went, oh no, this is it. This is it. 20 years ago, that was the end. We can disagree on prophecy. We can disagree readily on parts of the rapture. Everybody pretty well understands that the Bible teaches of a rapture time that's going to take place. But is it post, pre, mid? What is it? You know, I believe it'll be pre-tribulation. I think that's the way God deals. Some people think we're in it right now. I mean, there's plenty to disagree on. How about gifts of the Spirit? Were they temporal or were they permanent? Speaking in tongues was a gift. Is it still in existence? They're doing something. They're doing something that they're getting a crowd for, right? But we can disagree on that. I mean, there's plenty of things that we can disagree on. But Peter says we need to get along. Now, sometimes it's just going our separate ways, which is what those denominations have done. You understand that? You know, the apostles at one time said, okay, well, I'll go do this one and you do that one and everything will be okay. He says, having compassion one of another. This having compassion in the Greek word is sympathio. It means simply to have sympathy. To sympathize with someone that is having a rough time. Man, I know that people in this church that are going through rough times right now, I'm with you. In my prayers, I'm with you. In my walk, in my thinking every day, I'm with you. You know, some of it I can't even talk about without crying. I'm with you. I don't understand it. And neither do you, so I'm right there with you. When people show up and say, man, I got a praise report, I'm right there with you. Praise the Lord. You know, I prayed that same prayer. Hey, we got it. All right. I'm right there with you. We should have compassion one of another. He says, love is brethren. Irritates the bejeebers out of me for somebody to say, you know, I love that brother so-and-so, but I don't like him. I have to love him. God tells me I got to love him, but I don't like him. You're lying and your feet don't match.
Amen.
That's, yeah. You can't not like somebody and love them. That's not how it works. You can't say, well, I don't like being around him, but God told me I got to love him, so I do. This love he's speaking about here is not the supernatural love that the Holy Spirit produces, that we love everybody. It's a love of natural affection that we should have one for another with fellow believers. Man, how can we not... Mike, you okay? All right. How can we not love each other with our common bond, Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Man, I apologize to you, but He died for my sins. I know you were okay with Him, but He died for my sins. I'm the one that caused it. Everybody be mad at me. If it was just me. We're all in this together, right?
Amen.
We should love each other. And there's none of this, I don't like him. Man, you're just lying to yourself. And if you tell a lie long enough, you think it becomes the truth, but it doesn't. It doesn't. He says, be pitiful. That word pitiful is only here in the New Testament, and it's rendered tender-hearted. We should be tender-hearted. Pharaoh was hard-hearted. He had a hard heart. He didn't care about nothing or anybody. Man, heaven help us that we don't get to be there. Help us to be tender-hearted. Man, I know at a certain time in my life, I don't know if God did it or it happened, but man, I just got tender-hearted. My tender-heartedness is for kids. Man, I'm telling you, I got a thing for kids. You know. Why do we do all this mess for VBS and just work and recruit you guys and y'all do the same thing and we throw money in it? Man, I'm tender-hearted for the kids. sometimes they don't have a chance. You know, sometimes they're here because their parents didn't want them at home. You know, you pull up on a bus route and you say, can your kid come to church? Are you going to give them something to eat? Yeah, y'all get in. That's the truth, y'all. And kids sometimes don't have a chance. I think it's neat that the kids' angels get to cut in line for God. Amen. They got a special presence in front of God. I think God feels for the kids too, even more so. We should be tender-hearted. The pagan world, when Peter's writing this, and even today, the pagan world is hard-hearted. They show no pity on anything or anyone. They're cold and callous and cruel. That's the pagan world. My goodness, they worship stone statues. You know? I mean, there's no feeling in that. The Romans provided no hospitals or nursing homes for the sick, no asylums for the disabled, for the infirmed or the insane, no public education, no retirement homes for the old or rescue missions for addicts, drunks or depraved, no organizations to help the impoverished widows, battered wives, abused children, or the starving unemployed. They didn't do any of that stuff. There were no civil rights, no orphanages, no missions, no charities, no social programs at all. Everything that I just mentioned is a byproduct of Christianity. It's somebody saying, you know what? I want to help them more than what we're being helped. Some friends of ours in Justin just got back from Haiti. Went down there to help an orphanage that was hit by the earthquake. They went down there 10 days, gave up their time, money, energy, went down there and worked. And that's doing something. You know, that's getting out of your comfort zone and going out and doing something. Everybody's heard the car slogans, go the extra mile, right? Most all car dealers use that deal. You know where that comes from, right? That's scriptural, right? Everybody understands that? Jesus said, go the extra mile. By Roman law, you had to go, if a Roman soldier accosted you and said, hey, you're going to carry my stuff or you're going to do whatever for me, by law, you had to go 1 mile. Rome invented the mile markers, by the way. Had the little stone mile markers. And by law, you had to take whatever he told you to do and go that mile. You were his. He owned you by law. Jesus said, go the extra mile, because now you own him. He's going to be saying, hey, hang on, I'll go from here. Just shut up. You know, I don't want to hear about it. About 2 weeks ago, we were going to one of the ball games that the church does, and we stopped out here at a truck stop, and I was getting fuel, and a guy come walking over and had a big gas can with him. Big gas can. I listened to his story. You know, he had a good story. Hey, I'm trying to get home. I'm, you know, okay, here, set it down. I filled up his gas can. You know, it was nothing. I was filling my truck. I took it out. I put it in his. Put it back in mine. We went on. And for 2 weeks, I've been upset with myself. I didn't ask that guy if he was saved. I owned him. He was mine. He had to listen to me or not get what he come for. And I never asked him once about his eternal salvation. It bugged me. It's bugged me ever since that here I had an opportunity. I had this guy. You got to listen to me now because I've given you something you want. And I didn't say a word to him. So Friday I was in Denton. I was in a long line of cars waiting at a red light and I saw a guy panhandling on the side of the road. I pulled me out some money and I called him over to my truck. I held the money up and I said, you know, the first thing you don't say is, how's it going?
Yeah.
It was 110. He's standing in the median begging for money. I pretty well understood where he was at in life. What I wanted to know is, how'd you get to here? How did you get to standing on the side of the road asking strangers to give you some money? So I just started the conversation. I said, man, you know, how'd you get to here? He said, drinking. I said, are you done? Yeah. Let's see. It got me to here. Woohoo! That was successful. No. I said, are you done? He said, yeah, I hadn't had a drink in 3 years. I didn't know if that was because of financial reasons or what, but he said, I hadn't had a drink. And I said, he said, you know, I go down to this temp service and I wait there to try and get a job and I can't get a job. And he said, you know, being a felon, you know, you get more information than you wanted. Being a felon, you know, I can't keep a job. And, you know, he's just in this awful mess. For me to offer him words of wisdom is only going to help him some. I gave him money. What he did with it, I hope, was to the good. God meant it for good. But I asked him, I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I got to thinking when I drove off, if he would have told me no, you know how many people was going to be mad at me? But I wouldn't drive off. So I thought later, well, I'd just get out and open the hood and put the flashers on and go, okay, God sent His Son into this world. Or get in. We'll pull the hood up. It's air conditioned in here. But he told me he was saved. He rolled his eyes and said, well, I grew up Southern Baptist. I'm, well, okay, that's fine, you know. Said he was trying to go to this certain church. But the minute I said, do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, he went. I mean, he was starting the other way, but he couldn't because I owned him. I still had my time with him to go that extra mile. Man, that's what we should be doing. I'm not wanting a pat on the back or a gold star on my name back there. I'm just telling you, we should have compassion on others.
Amen.
We should do that. I hope it challenges you. They're no different than what we are. By the grace of God, I'm on this side and he's on that side. By the grace of God.
Amen.
I talked to the guy that went to Haiti. He said it was just so revealing to him that he was born in the United States of America and not born there with the rubble and the trash and just the, he said, the stench was unbearable. Yet those people lived in it. And he said, all he could realize is, wow, why would God bless me to be born here and not there? We should have compassion. And we should have pity toward those who are less fortunate than we are. You know, every one of those people out there has got a story. And you know why they're there? Because of sin. We're where we're at because of grace that we've understood. Somebody needs to tell them, hey, it's okay. You know, there's people that live within a certain radius of the church. I went to the same church for 36 years. As an adult, I went out in the neighborhood, knocked on a door. The guy said, you know what? I've lived here for 20 years and no one's ever come by and asked me about my salvation. Within the perimeter of the church. Wow. I know Brother Crawford's talked to them. The people that live right here, live right there. We pull our cars up, but, you know, they don't go here. But somebody needed to ask them. And the house next door, and the house next door. We need to have pity on everyone. Peter says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. That word courteous in the Greek is Philophron. Wes, did I butcher that one bad enough? It means friendly thoughtfulness. Our English word is translated philanthropy. Man, that's given to people. That's being friendly and thoughtful. Sometimes not even seeing someone in need, but giving to them. Man, who hadn't shook somebody's hand here and then put some money in your hand? That feels pretty good, doesn't it? I'm open for that today. I mean, on this side. Anyway, that feels pretty good, you know? Hey, don't know what your situation is? Love you, brother. You know? Yeah? I mean, we don't share all of our situations and our going-ons. Sometimes we do by our face. Just, you know, hey, look like maybe you've had a rough week. Let me commiserate with you. Tell me what's going on, right? Man, I'm telling you, if you're in a mess, it's okay sometimes to look up and see a friendly face in there with you.
Amen.
I remember my old college roommate, Ricky. One time he got hung up to a bull. It was a mess. And I always did. I was just right in the middle of it. We got all out and everybody was fine. And he said, you know, I just looked up and thought, what's Clark doing in here? You know, I just got in there with him. And that's what we need to do with each other here. Man, we just need... It made him feel a lot better. It made me feel better that I was trying to do something to help someone.
Amen.
Again, not to get a pat on the back or anything, but it just makes you feel better, you know, to give and to help those who are less fortunate at this time. I've told y'all before, there's been years that y'all paid for my kids to go to camp. Just that time of the year, it was rough, and if my kids were going to go, somebody else had to do it. Now, the following year, I paid for three kids to go to camp that weren't mine. But there's times when that kind of stuff happens. Man, that's good stuff. You know, we need to love the brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous. He says in verse 9, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You know, sometimes we do stuff, and I don't want anybody coming up and going, man, way to go. My blessing's in heaven. Don't rob me of that. You know, I had a time in my life where if you asked me to come do something, I'd come do it and I'd fist fight with you not to let you give me any money. But I was robbing you of blessing. And that's the honest to God truth. I actually in Marshall, Texas, where my son goes to school, I went to a rodeo out there one time. I won some money in a bull riding. And I don't know why, just when I was waiting to get the money, I thought, you know what, I'm going to give this to my preacher. I'm just going to give it to my preacher. So I came back and I said, here, I want you to have this. And he stopped me and he said, you know what? I dare say I make more money than you do. He said, but if I don't accept this, I rob you of a blessing. So I have to take this from you. And I believe him. That's the truth. You know, I'm one up on him. I'm one up on them. That's not fair, y'all. That's just not fair. You know, you know, sometimes I say, you know what? You do whatever you want to do for whatever blessing you have in mind.
Amen.
God is the render of that. Look what Peter says here. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and let his lips that they speak no guile. We should just be going around doing the right stuff. Doing what Christians should do, so that non-Christians say, I want some of that. Whatever it is you guys got going, you know, you're going through this mess and everything's okay. That's what we should be portraying. That's just having a Christian walk. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the time that we could spend. Lord, I pray that you bless our revival now as it starts. Lord, just speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to purpose in our hearts to be here at the meetings. And Lord, that again, you just speak to us individually, Lord, that we would, Lord, we'd be stronger Christians. Lord, that we'd be a stronger church. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.